passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
For those of you who were around in 1997, the most controversial Heisman ever, the apparent winner was going to be Peyton Manning. Now, a funny thing happened on the way to the award. Take a look.
The Heisman Trophy has grown and become the most coveted award in amateur athletics.
Charles Woodson, Peyton Manning, Randy Moss. I don't think we'll ever see a Heisman class like that again.
I voted for Peyton Manning because what else can we ask him to do?
I voted for Charles Woodson, number one.
He's a great all-around player, but he will not win the Heisman.
It is my honor to present the Heisman Memorial Trophy Award and the winner.
30 for 30 presents the Great Heisman Race of 1997.
And welcome back. And Gentry Kirby is the director of the Great Heisman Race of 1997. Gentry, thanks so much for being here. Oftentimes, I'll ask a director, like, what prompted you to do this? It's an anonymous story, but my only question to you is, what took so long?
Well, it's a good question, but there was a real prompt. I was reading on the 20th anniversary of that Heisman year, I was reading the oral history by Chris Lowe. I'm sure you've read it before, and I, you know, saw all the passion and obviously the strong opinions. And, you know, you throw in, you know, three characters that, you know, there's four characters total, but three that are going to the Hall of Fame. You get a national championship team. You get a controversial decision. So, you know, I wanted to do it, but I will tell you it was a little tricky for me because my dad was born and raised in Knoxville. And so when I called him, told him we're going to do something on this, and he's like, well, who would want to talk about that? And, you know, I was like, well, me. And so, you know, it was my mom went to Alabama, dad went to Tennessee, and, you know, so I come from that angle. But, you know, getting to this film, I just thought it was a fun – I love college football, and that was a great era of college football. So I thought it was a fun, you know, topic to go and explore.
You know, it's interesting because there's a lot of anxiety even today, which I'm sure will be portrayed, but I'll tell you a quick story before we get to the actual story. I was in New York at an event a couple of years ago when Charles Woodson was coming to the network, and it's the first time I had ever met him, and being a Tennessee guy, I mean, I just walked up to him and said, you didn't deserve the Heisman. I thought he was going to take a swing. So, I mean, there are a lot of people that have never gotten over this, which I'll get out of your way because I want to hear how you went about putting this together.
Yeah, the idea was to do it a little differently because we didn't, I think, you know, a lot of the main players are sort of on record of what they thought about that year. So we had done a 30 for 30 on June 17th, 1994, which was centered around the Bronco chase.
Sure.
And the director, Brett Morgan, did it all archivally. So nothing but, there were no interviews, no nothing. So we've always sort of wanted to do that again. And I thought this would be a good one to do because obviously, you know, with ESPN, we have a lot of footage. And I just thought it would help get people back in that moment. And, you know, the thing is with this film, it doesn't spend a lot of time on the post Heisman decision. It acknowledges it, but we spent a lot more time leading up to it because I think this is a good, you know, time to go back and look at how great Peyton Manning was, Randy Moss as well, and obviously Charles Woodson and Ryan Leaf as well. So we spend more time in the leading up to it, and you can really see the blow by blow of how this season played out with Peyton, you know, starting as the overwhelming favorite. And, you know, but that Florida game was always looming. And, you know, then eventually Woodson comes in. But so we really focus more on the lead up to it. Try to suspend disbelief here of that you don't know the outcome of it, which is tough. But, you know, if you look back at that time, there were a lot of people right up to that final day, including me, that thought that Peyton Manning was going to win it.
Yeah, I mean, like tomorrow night, I mean, we all, it would be a bigger shock if Jaden Daniels didn't win it, but this was personal for so many people, especially the Manning family. Archie Manning had been through it. it was just expected to happen. Tell us about the conversations with Peyton Manning.
There were no conversations because we didn't okay. interview him.
So yeah, I'm sorry. You said it was focused. Archival, but would you have had you done it differently? I'm sure there were there any conversations? Did you ever consider it?
Not really, because we're really committed to this approach. And I think, you know, you'll see in the film, Peyton was very consistent about how he felt about the Heisman or why he returned as well. I really don't think the Heisman was a focus of his at all. The SEC championship was a big focus of his. And he was pretty consistent, and we have him speaking from archivally that whole year. So you can really hear, you know, how he, you know, looks at it from at that time.
So Gentry, on that philosophy, because doing it that way versus the way it often is done, why do you feel as a producer, why do you feel that is a better approach, especially for something like this, which has so many raw feelings, even today?
Because I think you have to bring, the viewer has to bring a lot more to it. You have to bring your own context to it. And I think, you know, juxtaposing, because this isn't just about Peyton. Obviously, he's, you know, a big part of this. But, you know, juxtaposing today Peyton against, you know, if you know Peyton today, a lot of younger generation probably only know the last 15, 20 years. You'll see, you know, Peyton from then. But I just feel like it was a better way for us to stay in the moment. And that's what we're always trying to do with films, is trying to keep people in the moment. And we wanted to take people on this ride of the ups and downs of a Heisman, any Heisman year. In this particular one, there were a lot of ups and downs.
But Gentry, I know what you did on the other one, but I'm not. Listen, I've never produced or directed anything. I'm just curious because why couldn't you have talked to the two major characters, which is in my mind what this is really about.
Yeah, I think it's a lot about the Heisman and the college football as well. I mean, as far as couldn't talk to him, it was just, it's more sort of an approach. And, you know, that was what we were really focused on. And again, like I said, I think you see from past statements, past comments, you see what Peyton has said about, you see what Charles Woodson has said about, you see what Randy Moss has said about. So you already sort of know a little bit, you know, what they're thinking. But I thought this was just a different way to go about it.
Now that it's about to get its debut, how do you feel it turned out?
Great. I'm really excited about it. I think it's meant to be a fun film. You know, this is not a deep film. It's fun. There are a lot of Easter eggs in there of, you know, players from that era. Like if you know, you'll see Kirby Smart there in a quick shot, or you'll see a lot of other, you know, names from that era. A lot of broadcasters, you know, Ron Franklin, Adrian Karsten, you know, you just see a lot of sights and sounds from that year. And that's why I think it's fun. And I think people like to get back into college football, and especially in a nostalgic way, you know, from that era.
As directors and producers always have many things in their workshop. How many things are you currently at least thinking about or working on as this one goes to screen tomorrow night?
I'm working as a producer in a lot of other of our 30 for 30s. So, you know, after doing this one, it was a lot of fun. But, you know, these ideas and getting them greenlit and getting them going forward, they don't grow on trees. So, you know, I'm looking at some other stuff. I just think it was really fun to be part of this college football story.
Gentry Kirby, the director of the Great Heisman Race of 1997, will air tomorrow night. We head to the break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I-Man is up next.
Well, good afternoon there, Paul Feinbaum. How's it going?
We are doing great.
Good. You know, I was listening to the Florida State fan there a little while ago, and he's a little testy. How much longer are we going to have to listen to the Florida State's, you know, fans whine and bitch? I mean,
until Georgia beats them in the Orange Bowl. Oh, Jimmy is up next. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, Paul. Well, I've got to say, you really made a valid point earlier in the week by mentioning the fact that how come somebody did not ask Jim Phillips why he voted against the 12-team playoff, which was supposed to have started this year?
Yeah, it would be a pretty legitimate question. I mean, he's got his own network. I can't believe they didn't have him on this week.
So Florida State would have been in easily, but 2 years ago, they were in such a tizzy, he, Kevin Warren, and Larry Scott, over the fact that Texas and Oklahoma chose to ask for admission into the SEC, that they decided they were going to create their own scheduling alliance.
Right.
And I think Jim Phillips mentioned the fact that part of it was because of the superior academics that the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 shared. And when I heard that, it made me think, huh, I doubt that Jim Phillips is planning on giving back the PhD he earned from Tennessee anytime soon.
Yeah, he has one.
Yes, indeed. And again, that whole situation could have been avoided. But you also mentioned earlier this week, again, the committee could have really saved themselves a lot of grief by doing the obvious thing. And I think you're right about the fact that they felt that, well, we're not going to embarrass the ACC and by choosing to put them at number 5. If they would have put Georgia at number 5, which is where they should have been, so much of this chaos, I think, would have been avoided. Because anybody that saw Georgia and Florida State play on Saturday, I mean, there's no doubt who was the better team. But again, by putting George at number six, that just opened the floodgates. And, you know, it was really unfortunate. But you also mentioned earlier in this show the fact that, or somebody asked, should the SEC have a automatic spot in the 14 playoff? Well, the short answer to that question really is yes. When you've been in the champion, you've won 13 out of the last 17 national championships. You have played in the championship game 16 out of the last 7 years. And on three occasions, you've had both teams in the championship game. I don't think that's unreasonable. And then you look at this year, which was so strange because you had so many undefeated Power 5 conference champions. So that made the Georgia-Alabama game the loser. That made that an elimination game. And Kirby and the Georgia people realized that. And, you know, what happened happened. But how on earth, and you know the former coaches are thinking this on the committee, how on earth could you leave out a 12-1 SEC champion with 11 consecutive victories played under single elimination circumstances that included four victories over top 15 teams, and you cap it off with a victory over the two-time national champions with a 29-game winning streak? Nobody with a straight face, how could you keep them out, Paul?
You can't.
Yes, absolutely. And but it would have been interesting had Oregon beat Washington, because it's no secret the committee loved Oregon. Now, their schedule was a question, and that would have put them, you know, in a tough spot against Bama. But still, by Washington winning, that kind of eliminated that problem. But how would you have been or felt, Paul, if you're the coaching staff or a player at Washington, you're sitting there at number two, and yet in your championship game, you'd beaten Oregon earlier, yet you come into the Pac-12 championship game as a 10-point underdog? Man, don't you think they've been using that for motivation this entire time? And I tell you what, that's a team with an offense that can really cause some problems.
Yeah, they are. Jimmy, thank you very much. I think we have I-Man back.
Excuse me there, Paul. I kind of slipped. You know, there was no floodgate.
By the way, I've used the same word here and not been gotten in trouble.
Well, I mean, it slipped out. It's Friday afternoon. I'm sitting on the veranda. I mean, you know, to a guy like Joe from Red Bay, I'm on the back porch looking over the estate, which is my backyard. Okay. And there was no such thing as a floodgate until Florida State started crying all in alligator tears. I mean, you just weren't good enough. You weren't 51%. You were 49 or less. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, are we going to have to listen to this for the rest of our natural lives? Probably so. I mean, you just didn't make it. You didn't get the cut. They didn't pick you. And there's no participation trophy. The only weather is you get to go see Georgia. You get to meet the Georgia Bulldogs, who might be a little upset. And then, you know what, Georgia's going to be real happy. They're going to be licking their chops. And then y'all be crying again. And all of this goes back to a few commissioners that didn't want the 12-team playoff. You could have had one. But you didn't want one because it favored the SEC. And Florida State, you're not going to be alone for long. Just wait till Michigan kicks that little feller's team all over the field, drags them up and down the field. And you talking about a tsunami. Ladies and gentlemen, you better go to the mountains, because when Alabama gets beat by Michigan, it ain't gonna be pretty.
That is gonna be such a long drive home.
I tell you what, it's gonna be a long way from the Rose Bowl back.
Yeah, by the way, that game is on Monday afternoon, and in the event that happens, don't expect to see me for a couple of weeks.
Oh, and I understand why, because Nicholas will have you over there trying to teach him how to do his hands and comb his hair and put on his eye makeup and dye his hair and get them Don Johnson suits out and maybe get him some spray-on tan. Might have to get him some liposuction while he's out there in Los Angeles and blow his lips up and tuck his butt. I mean, there ain't no telling what Nick will do out there, because he's all into that stuff. But in Florida State, you won't be long. Alabama will be right behind you, and then you will see crime. It's like going to the nursery and all these kids for the first time.
I've had a chance to look at all the bowl. Who you guys got this year?
We got Maryland.
Okay. Where's that?
In Tennessee.
Oh, okay. Music City Bowl. Congratulations.
Yeah. Hard earned. I mean, you just don't play the kind of schedule Auburn Tigers had. With half
you guys up there exactly 20 years ago. I remember covering that game. That's right after Tubbs nearly got fired.
Yep, it was quite an afternoon
up in Nash, Vegas. Ken is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Ken.
What's up, Paul?
Hey, good afternoon.
You doing all right, my friend?
Yes, sir. We're sipping on some fine bourbon right now. It's late in the day.
Yeah, me too, man. Hey, I was listening to Iron Man, right? And hey, dude, listen, right. I'm a Gamecock fan.
One more time
I'm an SEC fan.
Bartender?
Huh?
You're right. Huh? Yeah.
No, I'm a Gamecock fan, SEC fan. But listen, our man was talking about. You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I was talking about like Florida State. Dude, let me tell you, check this out. I'm serious. I think the debate should be between Florida State and Washington, honestly. I mean, Florida State, they run the table. Washington run the table.
Yeah.
Florida State run the table, won their championship with a backup quarterback.
Right.
So the debate should be between.
I guess you know by now they've already made the selection. It doesn't really matter, does it?
Huh?
You are aware that they've already chosen the four teams for the playoff.
Oh no, I know, but they was talking about the debate.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
I just wasn't sure.
I mean,
where do you live in South Carolina?
I'm from New York, South Carolina, man. Yeah, I'm a Gamecock, Bo.
Okay.
I love them, man.
Yeah, I love those Gamecocks, too.
Yeah, but we can't get it together, Paul, honestly.
What happened this year to Beamer Ball?
Well, you got to look, man. We lost Jaheim Bell to Florida State.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lloyd to Southern Cal.
Yeah, that was a big one.
We lost our defensive lineman to Oregon.
Yeah.
And we're losing our guys, man, and I don't get it. Why? It's the NIL, honestly. It's money, man. Honestly, I mean, you know, it's it don't make no sense, bro. And
But at least you beat Clemson, right?
No, we lost Clemson this year.
You guys lost to Clemson?
I remember
it seemed like a year ago you guys beat Clemson. Beat Tennessee,
yes,
beat Clemson.
But we lost with it.
So you gave all those games back this year?
Huh?
Well, you gave all. So, I mean, listen, I don't think you. So you beat Georgia?
Well, we had Georgia on the ropes at
that. Oh, okay. Had Georgia on the ropes. Now.
Yeah,
I was watching a game about a month ago, and I turned it off. So I'm assuming you finished that game out against the Gators, right?
No, the Gators beat us. We should have finished that, Bo.
I swear, you beat Florida.
What's
I know you did.
We
you realize if you had finished that game, Florida would have only had four wins.
And we would have been in a bowl.
So what bowl are you guys going to?
No, we going to Snowball. We should have been Florida.
You're not. I mean, aren't you in the Mayo Bowl? Isn't Beamer going to get that Mayo bath again?
No, we not so lucky, man. We struggling that here, man.
Okay.
We struggling, brother.
Well, there's always women's basketball. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back here late in the show, early Friday night. Morgan is up next. Hello, Morgan.
Hey, Paul.
What's up?
I was just wondering what you thought about, like, Brock Vandergrift transferring through the transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't too surprised. I mean, at some point, you have to try to go and start. I think he has he officially announced where he's going? I've heard where I think he's going.
I think he's going to Kentucky.
Yeah, I think that's a good place. Kentucky, talk about Will Levis. Obviously, this year they were in good shape. I don't feel like Leary quite carried them to where I think the expectations were. But I think that's a good place. I mean, one thing about Kentucky, you're going to get good offensive line, solid defensive play. So I think that was a good landing spot.
One more question. How do you think Georgia is going to be next year?
That's a more difficult question to answer, Morgan. I've had a peek at some of their projected schedules. You know, that game at Alabama, they have, Texas? I believe it's on the road. They have a very difficult schedule. They play Clemson to start the season, and there are a lot of holes on that team. What about you?
Well, so I live in Alabama, and I'm a Georgia fan.
Oh, my goodness.
But I think that they could have a good year next year with their pretty good recruiting.
Morgan, the fact about next year is you don't have to be perfect, and you can go 9-3 and still get into the party. So I think that's the real advantage for Georgia. We know they'll play Tennessee at home, but their road games are Alabama and Texas. And with the Clemson game, I can't think of too many more difficult paths. And the Tennessee game, obviously, will be at home. So I think that's an advantage. Well, listen, Morgan, thank you very much for the call. You be well. Let's hear from you again soon. Thank you. Vanessa is up next. Hello, Vanessa.
Hey, Mr. Paul. I enjoy your show, sir.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry you're getting all this kickback that they're talking about, you know, FSU and all that. But I wanted to ask you a question about doing some fact finding out for me.
Okay.
I'm in the hospital and I was standing looking for the SEC channel to watch you. I caught the tail end on ESPN talking about giving a part time coach, Jim Harbaugh, $55 million contract. Have you heard that?
Yeah, there is a story out there that said they have offered him 11, part-time coach is pretty accurate, $11 million a year. There is one stipulation in there about NFL jobs, and I don't know whether that will be or preclude him from staying. I think Jim Harbaugh right now is in demand.
The stipulation should be don't get suspended anymore.
Well, there's about four NFL clubs that are probably going to offer him a job. So I still believe he's going to leave. So I'm not sure that contract really matters.
Right, right. Well, you know, all these people, sir, that have been coming down on you and everything, they really need to be talking to the NCAA about not getting on top of it. And look, they should have done something to Michigan.
But, Vanessa, how long are you going to be in the hospital?
I hope to get out by Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay. Well, I know that's no fun, especially this time of the year with all the holiday celebration going on. But thanks for checking in with us, and we hope you can call us soon from home.
Yes, sir. And I don't know why people are not listening to you about those three commissioners of the ACC. they need to be calling them. Watch the ACC channel. Leave the SEC alone.
Yeah, the ACC.
I mean, it's real simple to me.
Yeah, listen, they have a good product. It's just not great compared to the SEC. So you be well. You take care of yourself. Thank you very, very much. Get well soon. Todd is up next.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. You doing okay, bud?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Paul, if people would read their Bibles, we wouldn't have all this trouble like we're having in this playoff. But it says in the Bible, the day of the worm. Well, we end the day of the worm, there will be gnashing of teeth. We got a worm for our president. All right. Auburn and Florida State are gnashing their teeth. And anyway, all my Auburn kin people, they blame it on me. I'm the one that took Florida State out. That's what they think. And put Alabama in. Well, this is what I wanted to say, Paul. Yesterday I heard that rug rider that you were talking to earlier in the day came in riding that rug. He's 25 years old. He knows everything about college football. But I just want to say, I am, to all the Florida State and Auburn people, I am the one that did it. So I live right down here at Shelby. It's 12 folks that live here. I'm one of them. Come down here and see me, and we'll get it fixed. Roll, Tide, roll, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to hear from you. Billy is up next. Hey, Billy.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, talking about the worm, man, I can't help but remember, like, in my college days when, you know, you get to the bottom of that tequila bottle and, you know, you saw it down there and everybody wanted it. And so you had to divide it into pieces. But nobody wanted the head of it. But, you know, somebody had to have it. And so we'd all take our bites and it was just, you know, fantastic. But, you know, one other thing I wanted to say, Paul, is about the whole, you know, what ifs. You know, I had an old friend tell me one day, you know, Bill, you know, what if my aunt had nuts? Would that make them my uncle?
I've never said that to one of my aunts.
I know. You know, want to know? Right? Is that the question? And my last question is, on a serious note, though, you know, the new, you know, the new state coach, what kind of recruiting? Have you heard anything come through, like a portal?
Yeah,
you know,
I think he's just putting it together. I really like him. I think he's a really smart offensive mind. I think the ultimate question, Billy, is can he get players, enough players? It's so hard to win with middling players. He needs an infusion, and I don't know. I know Mississippi State has a loyal, a feverish fan base, but is it enough to compete in this new world that we live in? We'll take a short break. Back with a few more minutes right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.